history books were written on dirt, that the greatest of all time was a horse.
He is moving like a tremendous machine.
Experience the magic at this year's Belmont Stakes as we honor the 50th anniversary of Secretariat's legendary Triple Crown triumph. Join the celebration at Belmont Park on Saturday, June 10th. Tickets on sale now at BelmontStakes.com.
SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough!
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
You're in for a treat. This could spin out of control. It's not going to take
very quickly.
It's not exactly. It's not going to take much because the TDN team is here.
We're in the house.
House. Jessica Martini and Christina Vassanakis, and I just got the most stunning news because Jessica is fairly newly married.
4 months.
Mazel tov to you.
Thank you.
But thank God you fought off the husband's last name. And this is a big trend in Canada. It's in Quebec, it's nothing new at all. Women all keep their names.
Yes.
But it's trending. It's trending. It's trending in marriage circles.
I told him I couldn't because Steve Bick has this line. I couldn't change it. And, you know, we couldn't even have an argument about it because
I had this.
Of course.
He
understands. My career comes first.
Well.
And you come before my career. So
very, very kind. Well, because as we say, it's never too early for a martini.
Because who has a better name than
no
Jessica?
One.
Nobody.
No one.
I like my last name. I like the boss. I like the boss. But the martini, that's number one, right?
It's
you gotta keep it.
Outstanding, and it has so much fun. Mm-hmm. And I think there's only one other martini that anyone knows, and that's Mr. Martini in It's a Wonderful Life. I don't know any other.
My father.
Well, no, Mr. Martini's the bar in It's a Wonderful
sure,
Life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not related.
Not related?
Not related.
I was in Milan, and I actually went, weirdly, this is another story, but I went to a graveyard there, the monumental, and they actually have, there were several martinis in there.
Well,
so I don't know if that makes you feel better, Jess, but it's a weird.
That's where my people are.
There were martinis there.
It's Italian, okay. Obviously.
Yes, yeah, very Italian. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we've had this discussion with you. Where did you grow up? Where'd your father come from?
I grew up in New Jersey, and my family came from Naples. So, actually, in Naples, they were Martinos, and my grandfather, for reasons unknown, changed it to Martini. So,
wow.
Yeah. We don't know.
A lot of Italians did that, though, when they came over. They changed their names.
Well, but, I mean, to have it that close, because Martino, Al Martino, the singer, and so forth.
Mm-hmm. No, maybe you're related.
Wow.
Maybe that's a relation. You see the things that we discover here?
Well, you know, and anybody comes into this arena, they know there's no rabbit hole we're not capable of diving into, especially with you, who's got what? You got the Greek, you got the French, you got everything going on.
Well, I would say I have the Greek. We're very proud of our Greek heritage, and any of our Greek listeners would attest to that. But the French, obviously, living in Quebec. But you made a point about women keeping their name. Everybody does. I got a whole dissertation from my mother the other day because she gave me her maiden name for something, and I'm like, why are you using your maiden? She goes, in Quebec, we use our maiden names. So yeah, that's what they do. That's what they do. But I'm proud of it.
Well, Quebec's got a practical reason.
Yes.
So that the government record keeping doesn't have to be, you know, a whole new. I mean, I can tell you that Tina, when Tina and I got married, mm-hmm. and she hyphenated, mm-hmm. and the hoop jumping that has gone on has been unbelievable,
right.
With the hyphen. I mean, mm-hmm. the hyphen is a problem. Mm-hmm. Southwest. Mm-hmm. Southwest. their system can't accommodate a hyphen.
Yeah. But your name is Bic. Like, my name is Bossinakis. Now I add another name onto it. I hyphenated. That's it's going to be, like, long. Too long. Like, you know what I mean? Like, my husband's name is short. It's Florio. But fine. But still, I would have been like, it's cumbersome.
It's a good thing you and Zach Galifianakis did not get together, because then you'd be Bossinakis Galifianakis.
That's
She'd have to hyphenate that.
I think we would have had to rethink that relationship very quickly, just that, based on that.
That, in fact, you guys married would solve every wordle ever.
No, I don't know. Zach, no, not for me.
It's radio humor. Just, you know, it's just, I don't have anybody sending me these lines, you know. This is all coming out of this coconut.
Yes, exactly. Exactly right.
Christina Bossinakis with us, and that has done virtually every job in media in America, in North America, and Jessica Martini, who I think has only ever had one job.
This is it. When you find the perfect job, why ever leave?
But you have perfection. Why would she need something else?
Great to have. Boy, this deservedly, this sale has gotten big, and it's gotten extra attention. And the fact that, you know, you're both here, the fact that Lauren Gash and the fact that I'm here.
But mostly you. That's great.
But let's talk about me more.
Yeah. Oh, that's going to be difficult with me here. I'm sorry.
This is an important sale, and we're kicking off the two-year-old season, and everybody is here. I mean, this is, it's crazy watching, you know, everybody kind of flow through. And yesterday got off to a little bit of a slow start, but once things got going, the train got up to speed quickly.
Yeah, that's typical for a sale like this. Especially not only early in the sale, but also the first two-year-old sale of the year. It's going to take its time to find the rhythm, and I think that that happened yesterday, and that was reflected at the end of the day in the large buyback rate. I think it was like 32% last, you know, at the end of business yesterday. So I think that's going to improve as the week goes on.
Talk about some of the top sellers and some of the stories the two of you co-authored the headline piece. We did have a seven-figure seller, and we came very close to having two. In fact, I've got the 950 mm-hmm. on video, mm-hmm. and I love in sales when the pulpit realizes they might get to a million. You could see the blood in their eyes, trying to extort the. Mm-hmm. I love when they pause and they say, you know, something even more. The horse is at 950,000. Everybody knows what qualities there are to the horse. Mm-hmm. Just say, folks, we want another seven-figure seller. Somebody mm-hmm. needs to step up.
Well, you know, here's the thing, though. The one thing I will say is about that particular horse is both the consignor and the buyer, Mr. Heilenbroek, thought that horse was going to bring more. And when I spoke to Dean Dorenzo, he was saying he thought he was going to bring a little bit more, and also the buyer did too, because he said it was in our when we were still in our budget, they didn't think they were going to get him. So I think you were saying that, and 950, yes, for the rest of us, you know, mere mortals, you know, that's a lot of money, and it is a lot of money. But I think that they did expect for that horse to bring a little bit more, and they wouldn't have been surprised if he did.
This was Hip 95, the Uncle Mo. This was a horse that, in fact, Jimmy Ventura had alerted everybody to early yesterday morning. And it's funny, Ron Ellis joined us. Jimmy had also talked about that Hip 16, which Ron got for $350. The top seller, it's hard for me not to gush over Jane Lyon, who just is a treasure and continues to produce. I mean, obviously, when you get a boutique-y broodmare band, like she, what does she have, 16 mares?
Something like that, yeah, 20, right? 25 maybe, I think.
Okay, so maybe a little bit more. Seven-figure sellers, champions, horses of the year, classic candidates. It's unbelievable what
she has.
We've
been watching her over the years.
It's unbelievable.
You know, usually at Fasig November, she's picking up mares that you kind of drool over, and this, now she's reaping the benefits of that. I think what's interesting about those two top horses from yesterday is Hartley and Dorenzo generally would focus their program on the dirt training tracks at Gulfstream and Timonium.
Good point.
They didn't consign at this sale last year at all.
Wow.
So I think both of these horses would have been Gulfstream horses in previous years. So it's interesting that, you know, there was speculation before the auction. How many of these extra horses are horses that would have alternately have gone to Gulfstream, that top-level horse?
I asked that yesterday at Wojo, and he kind of downplayed it.
He has been doing that. I have asked him several times as well. I think if you compare yearling average prices from the last year's catalog to this year's catalog, it does not look like it's improved that much. I think the extra horses this year possibly are horses that were going to go to April and thought they might get shut out by Gulfstream horses going to April, so they put them in March instead. I think at the end of the day, the top-level Gulfstream horses are predominantly not here. They'll be in April.
Just a question of timing and, and development.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, because I spoke when I actually spoke to Randy Hartley, he was saying that for them, it's really, you know, whoever's the most advanced, obviously, are going to be the ones that are going to be coming here versus sending them, you know, keeping them on next month for April. But I think those guys are a little bit different in that I didn't realize Randy was saying he has 20 stalls. Like, that's what he has every year. They have a very limited number of juveniles that they bring to these sales. So it's amazing when you see the two toppers came out of the same consignment and they have such a limited number of horses in there. I think that's incredible. But, again, the most forward horses are going to end up here versus, you know, maybe something that needs a little more time is going to wait another month. But, you know, Jess, it is funny that you mentioned that, because when I asked the question about, you know, did this, the Fasig sale not happening, the Florida sale not happening, affect what was happening here? I keep hearing different things from different people, but I think it's really an interesting dynamic, because those horses are going to end up somewhere, right?
Yeah, I think, I mean, April has just become such a destination sale. I think that maybe people are targeting that more now that the Gulfstream sale is not here. I also talked to Kaleem Shaw, who bought a lot of horses at the Gulfstream sale. He did very well out of that sale, and he said although he bought the what did he buy yesterday? The City of Light filly he bought for $750. And he is a presence here, but he said, you know, he really wants to buy off the dirt track, so he's gonna aim for Timonium, and Boyd Browning is in the building as well, and he is, I think, telling people, we have a dirt track, so if you don't find what you want here, come to Timonium.
I saw Boyd whistling through yesterday, and not that that's unusual, that you know, the various other sales agencies showing up at each other's sales, and there's recruitment going on, and you know, a lot of back slapping and paw grabbing. The stallion, let's talk stallion, and let's talk the buying bench, and what your early reads. You and I, Jessica, check in on this on a regular basis, you know, in terms of, you know, watching them develop, and you know, the ones that were hot in September as the first croppers. What have you noticed, and what are you hearing in terms of the development curve?
I thought it was interesting. There were two good pinnacking scores yesterday with Good Magic and Arrogate, and both consigners of those two horses said, you know, we bought the stallion at a time when the stallion wasn't as hot, and like weeks after the Arrogate that La Uveas bought, you know, Arrogate started winning races, and so now he bought the horse for $50,000 last July and sold it yesterday for $525,000. So timing, again, as we always talk about, is really important in this game. I've been interested in the Maximus Mischiefs because they're 20 some odd cataloged in the sale, and I just thought that was an incredible number. He was a little chilly yesterday. I think there were a bunch of not solds, but he had some fast workers, so maybe that he can turn that around for the first croppers. And also Audible, of course. We talked about Audible a lot last year at the yearling sales, and he had a good sale yesterday, $425,000, that Steve Young bought from Eddie Woods. So Audible's still doing well.
There were a number, and of course it's just one day, and we'll see, and we'll talk about some potential hips in a minute. But when you look at the session toppers as listed in TDN, there's quite a few names. I mean, obviously, you know, when you look at Justify and Uncle Mo, you mentioned the Good Magic, and we'll talk to John Secura tomorrow. But here's Union Rags with a 375 Philly, Midnight Loot, who continues at fifth, and here's and then John Secura coming through again, right, as we speak.
He's ignoring us.
He's like, what are they talking about?
Well, Midnight Loot is a $15,000 cover, and he just gets runners every year. Here's a terrific pinhook success as well, a $55,000 yearling that turns into a $370,000 two-year-old. Frosted, very quietly seems to be coming along. He's like a work in progress.
It's another timing issue. Yeah, I mean,
right?
Yeah, when they bought the horse, the stallion was not as hot, and he also, I think that's the one that had the 9 and 4 work, right, for grade one investments. So the work helps there. Can I just stop you and talk about the Union Rags that you mentioned?
Yeah, sure,
there?
Of course.
I love this because Story Atchison of Dark Star Thoroughbreds bought this horse for $75,000, and it's a Union Rag, so maybe not, you know, a big commercial stallion that you're looking at. The horse worked in 10 and 2, and I find that very heartening that a horse that worked in 10 and 2 was a $75,000 yearling could bring that profit. I think that maybe is a sign that people are willing to look beyond the really fast work.
Well, you hope so, and certainly, you know, Union Rags, although, you know, Union Rags is another work in progress, even at this, you know, sort of the middle, late half, he's on the probably on the second half of his stallion career. It's very funny. He's gotten a little bit of everything, nothing that defines him as
a
stallion.
Quite broken through.
Right?
Yes,
it's a
exactly.
Weird, it's a weird
way of putting it.
Dynamic for him.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't that the point of the two-year-old sales? Is a lot of people come in here with a much more open mind about they want an athlete. Yes,
yeah.
You will always speak to somebody who's going to tell you, you know, we look at the page, there needs to be black type, there needs to be this, that, and the other. But the thing is, I feel with the two-year-old sales, people tend to be a little more open-minded. They will buy the younger stallions. They will buy maybe the less commercial stallions, but maybe physically is like a specimen and performed well during the work. So I think these sales are a little bit different. This particular horse, you know, you put them in the yearling sales or you put them in where they can't, you know, strut their stuff. They're not going to be as commercial, but I think that's the whole point of these sales, is that these are the kind of horses you can make a profit on.
Well, you know, a couple of different names that people may have seen on the results sheets, and you talk about that Union Rags. Parks Investment also paid $325 for that Curlin filly that Calumet bred, and the King's Equine consigned. That, what do we know about that? Nothing? Anything? Nothing yet?
We haven't gotten that one yet.
All right.
That's on today's list.
That's today.
Yeah,
that'll be the first thing we do today, Steve.
Outstanding. And didn't, you know, I see Sean Flanagan buying the Leaban, the New York, this is actually not the New York bred. The New York bred, the Frosted was a New York bred, Jeff Treadway.
Right.
So
I think
this,
John Kimmel is buying for him.
For Flanagan.
Yes.
Yeah, and this was a $425,000 Kentucky bred Leaban that Windstar. So this must have been
the one crop that he had
in Kentucky before his very difficult and strange passing. Paul Sharp consigned. Didn't mean to bring things to a halt there, but
bringing us all down again.
I'm sorry. like a
lead balloon.
Like an eighth grade pothead. To quote the great what's his name? Gary Gulman. It's one of his. For those of you that are Gary Gulman lines, the funniest bit in comedy history. Mm-hmm. Gary Gulman.
Okay.
Grapefruits of Wrath. If you have not heard,
I think I read that in high school.
I don't think you read that.
Do a search on YouTube, "Grapefruits of Wrath," Gary Gulman. It is the funniest bit to me in comedy history about grapefruits. And we are in Florida, and I did see a sign.
Okay.
I promise you.
We were going to watch Citizen King tonight, but we'll
switch to Grapefruits of Wrath.
Yes.
That's it.
Catalina Cruiser.
I mean, this is an eclectic group of, and the Young Stallions. It's like a really interesting group, I think, of Young Stallions, and even some of more seasoned Stallions. But I don't know. Yesterday seemed a little bit different. I'm curious to see if we can follow up, if today follows up and is the same kind of thing that we saw yesterday. Jess, I don't know what you...
Well, I think what's interesting about the Catalina Cruiser is Tom McLaughlin bought a bunch of high-priced yearlings yesterday to pinhook for Mike Suker's Champion Equine. And this horse, I think a couple of them are made because Mr. Suker also races, so if he doesn't get the price he wants, he'll race them, and that's a good fallback to have. But it'll be interesting today because Tom McLaughlin will offer a full brother to Cave Rock.
That he bought for
Mr. Suker last year for $700,000 at the New York Budstale. So something to keep an eye on there, and maybe that Catalina Cruiser could start them off with a good sale. It was a private sale, so it was let out unsold initially, and then they got it done late.
There was also, speaking of RNAs, there was I was with Richard Kent, and he was involved trying to pick off an Ontario bred that RNA'd for big money.
Was that the Dynasty horse, the Dynasty Thoroughbreds, the Ming family, I believe? They seem to do that a lot. I often look and, something's selling for a lot. Oh, it's going to be a good clinic, and then it RNA. So I don't know. I've spoken to them a few times, but I don't know what that deal is about. Did he end up getting the job done? Do we know?
No. It RNA'd. It was the Dynasty. Mm-hmm. It was a Matoli colt that went 9-4, hip 143. RNA'd for $575.
And I think they hadn't bought it for that much either. I would take it, but that's just me.
I'll use the line I use with the At the Races sales queen emeritus, the big mare in every sale press room, Glennie Kane Oakford.
We miss Glennie.
The absolute queen. Don't get in her way.
Do not get in her way.
No.
That was one thing I learned early on.
I'm sure.
Yes.
Her and Mary Jean Wall.
And Claire Novak.
Well, that's good advice on all fronts. should we go on with this? Should we include Babs? What about Babs? I guess you don't take photos ever.
Barbara,
right?
Livingston.
Oh, yeah. She doesn't do sales as much, so it's not a...
She'd be a terror here, too. boy, nobody's getting away clean. But we used to say that talk about the RNA rate. If people have $575,000 that they don't want in their pocket to get out on a horse, it means they don't need to get out on the horse. Mm-hmm. And that's healthy in its own respect.
Yeah, I mean, people who race and they have that fallback, it's always going to be an attractive option to have. If you don't get what you want, you can take the horse and race it.
I also think it's a deterrent, too. Sometimes if you place a high RNA, we were talking about it with Randy yesterday, Randy Hartley, and he was saying that, which I hadn't quite thought about it that way. He kept saying, well, we don't place, like, ridiculous RNAs. We place low RNAs on our horses. Like, we don't place them really high. And he kept reaffirming that. And I think that because it acts as a deterrent sometimes, he was saying about that particular horse that sold for $950, the Uncle Mo, that sometimes if people think they can't afford it, they'll just stay off. They don't get involved. Whereas if you think you've got a shot that you might be able to get the horse, you might be in play. So I think the higher RNAs sometimes might even work against you because people think they don't have a shot, and like if they have a certain amount in their pocket, they have a budget, if that horse for some reason doesn't go beyond your budget, well, you thought that horse might, you know, would sell a whole lot more. So I think it's a double-edged sword, the RNA. Yeah, you don't want to lose it. You don't want to lose money. You know. But at the same time, I don't think you want to scare people off either, that they think they're out of the game.
The Cave Rock, we don't know obviously what kind of reserve might be associated here, but this is a filly, and you know, that's all I'm.
I think it's a colt.
Is it?
Tom McLaughlin has a filly who.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's the Eric. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. You're right. It's the. I'm one line off. There you go.
The Georgie's Angel.
Yes.
I'm dating myself. I actually wrote a story when Georgie's Angel broke her maiden. So I really makes me feel.
It was just a few,
I know.
Just a few.
I was just five at the time. I was a very precocious child.
She
saw the martinis.
Was she a Jess's rising star?
We might not have had TDN rising stars at the time, but she ended up winning the Schuylerville, I believe.
Yeah. There weren't rising stars at the time.
It was the breeder's first horse that he had ever bought, Georgie's Angel. So
unbelievable. There's always stories like that. Well, this one being an Arrogate out of Georgie's Angel, and this is an interesting family too, because the second dam is by Dynaformer. There's all kinds of things going on in here. So we'll watch for this. McLaughlin consigning, and haven't I tell you who's been quiet day one? Just looking down at this sheet, this is Hips to Watch. Eddie Woods with a quiet first day, correct?
Interesting. I think he had a couple.
Yeah, like in the
top, couple nice pin hugs.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah. I think we're just used to seeing him a lot more.
I'm sure there's more coming.
Yeah, I'm sure there's more coming, yes. I wouldn't count him out, not just yet.
No, in fact.
But that's what I was saying. Yesterday was a little bit of it was an interesting day, let's just put it that way. And I think I'd be curious to see if today plays out the same way, because I don't think it will.
Well, and as it happened, I'm just looking. This is Lauren Gash's Hips to Watch.
What does she know? Let's be honest. I love Lauren. Don't write in.
You're going to get calls now. We're going to get calls.
The opinions expressed are not those.
Not even ours.
Exactly.
Purely for comic value.
Or Sue Finley's either. Exactly.
We can blame Sue.
We can blame Sue.
Well, she's not here.
She's like,
that's the TDN way. You blame the person who's not here.
She's got four of Eddie's on here. A Twirling Candy, an Uncle Mo, an Arrogate, and a Medalladora. All Colts, by the way, which is interesting. So we'll watch for Eddie Woods to maybe hit the ledger today. Hips to Watch for the two of you, besides some obviouses, maybe some physicals that caught your eye.
Well, you had me until you said the obvious, but obviously the Good Magic today of Top Line that worked in 9-3 last week and had a monster gallop out, just an enormous stride on that horse, so can't wait to see what he does in the sales ring today.
Hold on, let's take a look. What are we looking at? Do we know hip-wise?
You ask tough questions.
I might be able to answer my own question through the miracle of
the internet.
Of the internet, of the catalog.
I think it was like it's got to be 340 something. I don't know. They all run together.
There's.
You worked in 9-3, so.
Oh, 546.
Yeah, of course.
546.
That's exactly what I said, Steve.
That was the one that worked the first day of the Breeze Shows.
No, it was.
Wasn't it? The second day?
Maybe. Third.
No, all right. So then the thing is,
there were two 9-3s, right? There was one on the last day and one on the second to last day, I believe.
Okay. Well, then Good Magic is in for a big sale off of the $725,000 that Steve Young signed for yesterday late, right?
Yes, and also with Top Line. This is another Top Line Good Magic. I know when I was putting the picture of the horse in the newsletter, we have to make it a certain size to fit on our website, and the horse's stride was so long it almost didn't fit.
Wow.
That's what I'm judging that on.
That's interesting.
Not scientific. It's a very good.
Well, I was a little worried. I was like, oh, God, it's not going to fit. And I think I heard that he galloped out in 19-4 or something. I don't know if that's accurate.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. How about that? All right, so we'll watch for this. This will be fairly late this afternoon, right?
So. 3:30, towards the end,
give or take.
Mm-hmm.
4:00. Hip 5:46. What about for you, Seabus?
I don't know. Well, you're putting me on the spot now because I don't know that I would have anybody.
That's what happens.
But that's what happens. But you know, and I don't know that there's anybody particular that stood out to me. But then again, it's all about you know, you get the feeling, like yesterday, right before that horse walked in, that that HIP 95, all the cameras showed up and the whole crew, and you knew there was something that was about to happen. So I feel like that's where I'm going to be watching, is, you know, what the pulse is on. But I couldn't give you, you know, the obvious horse. The obvious horses are always the ones that are the fastest workers, but I don't know that that's necessarily where I would go. So I'm not going to give you an answer.
Can I give you one for tomorrow? Is that
Of course.
There's a Matoli, I think it's a filly. I'm pretty sure it's a filly. It's a Cesar Aloya. I don't know if he used to work for Steve Venosa. For many years he worked for Steve Venosa, and is a really, really good guy, and it's a good story. He grew up on the farm with Dr. Hart and Susie Hart, and so that's how he got into the business, because his father was working on the farm, and now he worked for Steve for many years, and he's gone out on his own, and the Harts have given him this Matoli filly to sell. They don't usually sell two-year-olds, but they gave him this horse to help him get started in his first year consigning, and she worked in 9 and 4 last week, so something to look for, maybe a good story for Caesar, because he's a good guy.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's HIP 738.
Yes.
738. Cesar Aloya, training and sales. Excellent.
So keep an eye on that one.
I will. Out of Olive Branch, a Spitestown mare. The family of Wilburn and Moonlight Sonata. Was the third dam.
Could be a good story.
It is. Mm-hmm. That looks like a winner. What is the coverage? Any special coverage notes to pass along to everybody today?
What you gave us an assignment. That's the one we're going to focus on today. Parks Investments.
Parks Investments.
If you're out there, if you're listening, come find us.
You know, as it happens, Caesar had a Catalina Cruiser. I'm just.
Oh yes.
How'd that horse sell?
I believe Dennis O'Neill bought it for maybe $150. It was a good pinup. I think he bought it for
Rain
$50.
Man, Dennis O'Neill.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that we called him that.
That's what Doug calls
to
him.
To his face? Oh, okay.
There he is. Yeah. Norm Cassie. I gave him two assignments. I gave him two restaurants.
Why is he running like
you
that?
You see, he even break stride as he went past here. No, he's moving like a tremendous machine. He's just going past it. Yeah, he saw us. He saw this crew here, and he was like, "Nope, stopping."
Off he went. No, I got him yesterday, and we got quite a bit in. But he said he's been driving back and forth between Oaklawn and Fairgrounds,
mm-hmm.
And so I gave him a restaurant in either. Get over here. Yeah, please stop. I gave him two restaurants. One if he leaves Hot Springs this way, and one if he comes or goes Hot Springs that way. A burger joint in Hope, Arkansas, called Tailgaters, mm-hmm. which is fabulous, mm-hmm. burger, and then a barbecue place that's unbelievable, mm-hmm. in Whitehall. Mm-hmm. Two words: Whitehall, Arkansas. If you're heading east out of Hot Springs, about an hour and a half, called Woodshed Barbecue. Both outstanding, and both of you are outstanding, Christina Basanakis and Jessica Martini. It's never too early for a martini when it's Jessica Martini. TDN coverage wall to wall with no Mary Jean wall. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.
Joe Applebaum is jumping in, and we're going to get Joe here to you just sit down with your nonsense. You're unbelievable. It's just incredible. All right, take that cord off there. There you go. And outstanding. All right, we'll get you guys. We'll get to you. Absolutely. I'm glad you flagged me. Lip chip.
Okay. 11:30. I'm off.
All right. Stop. Already.
I'm serious. I have a call at 11:30.
What? The HISA.
Yeah.
HISA.
You guys are gonna kill me.
Don't worry.
I only have 4 hairs left.
No, you don't. Joe Applebaum, everybody.
Welcome. Or welcome to Ocala, horse racing nation.
wrong name.
Oh, sorry.
Wrong moniker. How are you? Oh my God! Oh my God! It's wonderful to see you. Pond Street Stable.
Yes.
I know. From New York.
Yes.
I'm still on your mailing list.
You hear this, Steve? She loves our mailing list.
She didn't say she loves it. She said she's still on it.
No, I love it. Hold on.
about all the things you wrote about HISA and how organized it was.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Art's doing it here.
Oh. I just try to take care of my own guys. They're trying to. I think they're seeing... Okay.
It's clear, it's concise, it explains everything.
That's Joe. Clear and concise.
Thank you.
That's him. That's him.
This is why we're here, to clear up all the rumor and innuendo.
Exactly. Joe, it's wonderful to see you. For the longest, but my introduction to the game came through Pont Street, through Del Carroll and their team. Mm-hmm. I mean, so that's why, one of the reasons I'm here. Del taught me as much as anybody about horsemanship. Joe, you're wearing billboards. You've got your NYFA sweatshirt and your off the hook hat.
Yeah, that's who I, you know, you got to represent your own people.
First of all, sale-wise, what do you got here?
Oh, I got a nice St. Patrick's Day today.
Really? Brother of American Pharoah.
Yeah, that'll be probably our best horse. Our main focus is always April, so we try to help OBS and fill out the sale here with some hips. But we have a real nice St. Patrick's Day. That were hip 423 that went 10 flat, had a really nice gallop out, and he looks like a Florida sire who might have a chance.
Florida bred as well, nominated for everything, and the Sire Series and Sunshine Millions, etc., out of a Colonel John mare.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So we should be able to get two turns. This guy looks like a real fullback, and we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Outstanding. And this is the only
we got a couple others, but that's our focus today.
All right.
Yeah, we got a Catholic Boy filly who's not bad, and a Flame Away. A lot of regional sires for us.
Well, Flame Away is the sleeper. Is the sleeper hit of the crop.
Okay, I like to hear it. There you go.
It didn't come up with the girls, but last year we saw it. The Scat Daddy, every Scat Daddy stallion is going to score.
Yeah. Okay.
He's going to have been a sire of sires when it's all said and done. And it's tragic, really.
Yeah, you know, that's...
That's the game's middle name.
That's the game, exactly. Exactly, right? Especially on the breeding end.
No, it's crazy. Very, very hard.
Yeah.
Other sale impression, market conditions, etc.?
Seems like, as always, if you have the right horse, there's plenty of money here at the top end and probably mid-market, too. I think the thing that's been most remarkable to me is just the change in the sale schedule. Right when I first started doing this almost 20 years ago,
February,
two sales in February we would have had already. We'd have been down at Calder for both Phasic Tipton and OBS. OBS used to have its own sale down there, and then we'd be here, and this would be like the middle of the season. This is the first of the season,
mm-hmm.
and it looks like, I think Phasic's having a sale in June now.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's so backed out. I don't really understand why. But it's really backed out, and that actually creates an issue at the track, because if you buy a horse here, you know, you're hustling to make Saratoga. You are not guaranteed. So, there's a big flow through right to the track with everyone backing out the schedule. So I don't know. Times are a changing.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. That's a whole separate topic, because there's certain areas of the country where, you know, I mean, Keeneland's going to be running 2-year-old races in 3 weeks.
Correct. Correct.
And meanwhile, Naira has had tremendous difficulty getting early 2-year-old races to go.
That's correct. We have a new bonus program in this year, which we think, I've talked to a couple trainers who are renowned for their 2-year-old prowess, who seem to be going to be taking advantage of it this year. but we've worked hard because if you want to have those two-year-old races ready in Saratoga, you need to have horses that have broken their maiden already. And if you don't have enough races now,
no,
that's not going to happen. So, it, you know, I don't know in the long run if it's good or bad. You know, a lot of people don't like two-year-old racing. They think horses should be backed off, but I don't know that the stats actually tell us that, but it's just something to follow. It's a real trend. You know, if you, let's say you buy a turf horse in April, right, which is our biggest two-year-old sale, by the time that horse is ready to run, it could be September or even October, and, you know, if you're in the Northeast, what, you get one race in at Keeneland, one race in New York, and now you're putting the horse away for the season again. But some of the timing issues are very difficult to work out.
Well, and that brings up, it's funny you mentioned that about putting the horse away, especially if it's a turf horse and you're not, if it's a New York bred, let's say, and you're not going to go, you know, send them down to Florida or Louisiana. That gets us to a couple of other portions of the Joe Applebaum topics. The news last week, of course, the seeming Albany embracing of the $450 million loan to NYRA to refashion Belmont and ultimately consolidate racing downstate. And then, of course, later in the week comes the official word about the okay to install a synthetic track as a fourth surface, the two turf courses, the main track, and now a fourth synthetic surface, which would give tremendous versatility year-round to what'll be racing at Belmont from September to July 1st.
So fingers crossed, nothing's approved until it's all approved.
Right, another 10
We've
days?
Gotten positive feedback so far, but again, nothing's improved until everything's approved. Yeah, hopefully by April 1st, realistically, by that sometime that first week in April, New York State will approve its budget. We hope that the bonding or the loan now is part of that. It's been included in the governor's budget, in the one houses of both the Assembly and the Senate. So there are some small differences between the three that they'll have to work out in the next 10 days or so. We hope and don't think those things are killers, but there are still people out there who, you know, don't like our sport and would like to not see this happen. But it's a self-funded plan by NYRA. It'll wind up being beneficial to the state in multiple ways. And I think it'll help utterly transform Belmont Park.
Why are we tolerating and I mean, I know we don't want to stamp our feet and carry on geschrei too much, but why are these lies allowed to persist about what this funding represents?
Well, for lack of a matter, we live in the United States of America. We have free speech.
It's not free speech if you're just lying about what this is.
Yeah, but there's no way to combat. The only way to combat that is for us to get our message out there. To that point, we had 200 of our supporters
Tremendous. In
Albany. It was a loud, raucous rally with about 8 elected officials there. It was fabulous. And that's what we need to do. We need to get out there, let people know we're real people with real jobs, with real interests, and to understand what's at stake for real people. They're throughout New York State. They're up and down the. The people came from up and down. There were backstretch workers, farm workers, farm owners,
breeders.
Ramon Dominguez, Richie Migliori, even Keith Dolichow, racing secretary,
very nice.
On the bus,
nice.
with all the workers from Belmont Park. So it was a nice, well-rounded crew. I know the NYRA lobbying team is working hard on it. The breeders and the horsemen are supporting it, so helping to support them, especially where we can, with a show of numbers.
Nice.
So I think it'll be an incredibly exciting project, and we've already started it. If you've ever seen the tunnel, you should do a show from the tunnel.
I will.
It has good acoustics down there.
Yeah.
But I think Glenn Kozak and his team have just done an amazing job of prepping the facility for more work. And that's not fancy. That doesn't get you on the front cover. But it's the sort of infrastructure work that needs to get done if you want to have a modern racing plant for the next 30 years.
Exactly. Exactly. So. Finally, we got 2 minutes. Joe Applebaum with us, who between his consignment business off the hook and then, of course, as the head of the New York Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association and also the THA board.
Writ large.
Exactly. Any HISA thoughts here?
I thought I was going to escape.
Look, you and Jack Nicholson in terms of endearment.
Yes,
I thought I was.
In New York and all the Mid Atlantic states and all the THA states, we're expecting HISA to start next week.
Next week.
I think the most, if you're a trainer, the most important thing you can do right now, okay, is get your hands on the RMTC's. Recommendations that were released a day or two ago.
Yep.
We're broadcasting them to all their members. It is the most practical advice for what you're supposed to do. And we are 100% just trying to support our members. You can like it, you can not like it. Hey, honestly, all our opinions don't matter right now. It's in the hands of the judges, but we have to support our members, and doing that is just getting them the best information we can.
Excellent. All right. Joe, right on the money, 11:30.
Right on the money. Steve, always a pleasure. And where do we eat here in Ocala? What's your undercover spot?
Well, I'm getting some interesting pushes. We got the Vineyard, Katya.
Okay.
K-A-T-Y-A. That's supposed to be the absolute best in the area. Al Stahl, who is from New Orleans and should know a decent meal, he's pushing Milano,
okay,
which is right on 200 here in a little strip center. Tommy Ventura, who probably knows his way around, a marinara pretty good. He says, good, good.
It's good, not great.
Not that great.
Okay.
What else do we have from my history here? Tommy actually took us to a crazy burger joint that I could never find again. In fact, Aaron Yagoda was worried that
he wasn't coming back.
No,
from the woods.
That we were going to be gator bait in another 10 minutes.
Yagoda and nature don't really work well.
No,
together.
No, he's a landlocked Jew.
Keep him on the highways.
Aaron,
Steve, great to hear you.
Unbelievable.
See you.
Joe, thank you so much. Joe Applebaum, or as my phone printed out, Apple Butter. That's
what Indian Charlie
calls. That's funny. I've got a quick one. I want you guys, I heard about this yesterday, and this is too good of an opportunity. It doesn't matter, headset or stick mic, whatever you want to do. You turn that around, though. Spin it around. There you go. Heard about this, was introduced to the lip chip yesterday, and catching this concept while we have an opportunity. Good morning.
How are you this morning?
I'm great. Steve Beck.
Brad Bolin.
Brad Bolin.
Yes, sir.
Lip Chip LLC, and for years, before the Jockey Club went and had the microchipping become the standard, we talked about the opportunities that the technology afforded. Basically, it is just what people do with their cats and dogs, microchipping for identification purposes and GPS purposes and all that, and that the industry could benefit from that technology. It seems to have made all kinds of forward moves, and lip chip is like a next-gen concept.
Yes, sir. We're a tech company based out of Texas, and we've kind of taken it to the next level. We're like the wagon wheel in the tech industry, in that we're the database, and we have all these different things that push out, but it's all based off the microchip where you have a stopgap. I've been training horses for 32 years and really got tired of people cheating and no ways for us to track them, so we've kind of figured out how to do that. We've also figured out that people cannot get help now, so it's a lot easier to take 70 temperatures in 7 minutes than it is to take 70 temperatures in 2 or 3 hours. So we have totally different aspects to help people.
That part of it, the taking the temperature, is unbelievable. Explain what the lip chip is and why it's an innovation, and flesh out that concept about taking the temperature.
Well, we use thermal microchips, and we can, you know, everybody hears lip chip, and we do think that's the best positioning because, you know, with HISA coming in and some of the things coming in, they need the entry ports for the racetracks to come in. So we do digital coggins, digital health certificates. So when you scan that horse, it picks it right up. So when you go into the big racetrack, it's there. Heiss is asking about tracking now, so they want an original point, and then they want to know when they go into the racetrack, they want to know when they're leaving. That way, if they do, Lord forbid, have a disease outbreak, they can track that map. We can read them in the nuchal ligament, we can read them in the chest, which I'm not a big fan of either one of those. We put them in the lip, and the reason we do that is because we have about less than 1% migration. TRPB and these guys are running at about 18% migration in the nuchal ligament. It only makes sense because once you put them in there, what does everything do? Gravity drags it down, and if you don't get it exactly in there where it adheses, it'll drag itself down. Also, the access, if you're in a big van, most of those vans have windows. You just go by and scan them. It drops it right to the app, and we can hook multiple devices to the app, so the guy in the guard shack can have a regulatory app where it pulls up, and when that horse comes in, it just hits the green light. All six of them are checked in and ready to go. We can do big venues. We were just here this weekend in Ocala with Live Oak International. So they bring them in, we scan them. It's already pre-checked in. Tells you what stall assignments you have, how many bags of shavings you ordered, feed, hay, whatever you want to do.
Unbelievable. How old is this?
The company's about 4 years old. We're just a startup company. We make our own readers in the United States. All the patents are in the United States, going international now. We have all of our own devices, and it's a startup company, and we're getting ready to launch probably sometime in September, October. Our readers are getting certified right now.
This is cool. How did you get into it?
Like I said earlier, I've trained horses for 32 years, and I always heard everybody complaining about, you know, we need to catch these guys cheating or working the wrong horses or whatever. So we started playing with it, and we built it from a horseman's perspective for the horseman. Everything is to make it at ease of the horseman.
And, of course, the basic technology was in place, and so you just kind of fleshed out the applications.
Correct. I was real fortunate to get introduced to my tech partner, Pretty Smart Labs in Austin, and we've worked really hard with him. And I'd go back to Antonio and say, hey, I need this for the horseman, and he'd go, can't do it. And he'd now, and he so it's worked out really well. We have a breeding application on there. We have a check-in application for the big venues. We have a daily health check. The daily health check is really cool because the daily health check comes in and you scan all your horses in your race barn, and then it gives you a graft and it goes all the way across, and you can keep up with the temperatures all day long. If the trainer's not there that day or whatever, then it sends him an email if you have a temperature, and so they can keep up with their horses. They don't have to be there all the time.
Unbelievable.
Yes, sir.
That's very cool. And this is, I mean, this is all the things that we, I remember talking about this for years. You know, the idea of the vets, that, you know, they talk about the digital health record and all the treatments and a record of you know, of the treatments, and, you know, that racing commissions could, you know, then instantly have, you know, have everything at their fingertips in terms of, you know, I know that, you know, obviously there's got to be supervision and there's got to be, you know, elements you know, put into place to back this up. Talk, Brad, about how this is administered. I mean, do the trainers buy it? The stakeholders?
The way we're going to roll it out, it looks like we're going to roll it out to the veterinarians. That's what the regulatory bodies want us to do. So, like I said, we're the hub, and then the wagon wheels come out. We've actually got a study going on this summer with Texas Tech University Veterinary School. It's a brand new veterinary school, working on heart rates, respiration, temperature, so that on these boutique drugs that we can't catch, they can figure out the heart rates and how they're doing it. So it's kind of like a wagon wheel. You have the regulatory bodies, you got a regulatory veterinarian, you got your, of course, your veterinarians that work for you, your personal veterinarians. Lord forbid somebody gets a bad test, you know, they in within 24 hours they can just call over and have them drop it, and that with the permissions, everything has to go through permissions. So if they give you permissions, then you can go in and look and see what was administered to that horse.
Brett, who pays? I mean, where's the expense part come in?
And it's an application fee. The more horses you have, the cheaper it is. And like the regulatory bodies and the racetracks and venues have a different tier because they have so many horses that comes through there. So we're going to roll it out as an application. We sell our, like I said, we sell our own readers. We actually manufacture those readers to where our read range our read range on our readers is very unique in the world of scanners. You can actually hook multiple devices, which is not the case nowadays with the other readers. And also our read range, after you read the horse, we can move that data around in a racetrack setting. Like in Rio Doce, we did a pilot project last year because it was such an easy access out there. And Mr. Trotter and them were really nice to me to let us do it out there. But we were shooting from the gap. So there's no misunderstanding who that horse is. Nobody's switching horses. And we actually have a workout. So we can pull up five on those and work the horses, give you the splits, store it and hit it and move it over. We've got a lot of horses in this sale right now. We have quite a few for Eddie Woods. We have quite a few for Nick DeMerrick. We have a bunch for Allie Rice. And we also have a pilot project going with Mark Cassie. So Mark Cassie's got some at his farm, and they're doing really well with it. It takes a little while for them to get used to it, but we've been running that project for about 6 weeks, and looks like we'll have about 350, 400 in the next April sale.
Unbelievable. Obviously, there's probably even applications that we haven't even, you know, been explored yet. I mean, that's.
We also have a breeding application. We were talking to a breeding vet yesterday here, and she was pretty excited about it because we've kind of learned now that you can go in and right before a mare ovulates, it'll tick up, and you can store, and usually it'll go up 2/10. So they got a 40 follicle, and you track the follicles, and right before she ovulates, the temperature will tick up 2/10.
How about that?
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
How about that? And I imagine for foaling too. There, right? There's got to be
The foaling part is awesome, and we were really fortunate that we've had a big farm to work with, and we microchip them at 24 hours, the babies, and then we can keep the temperatures inside the nursery. Takes one scan. I mean, just absolutely, just walk up. 99% of them. You know, everybody always goes, oh, well, they're scared of the readers. They're not. They will just take their nose and stick it right on it.
And anything. There's nothing funnier than a young foaler. They'll explore anywhere.
They're so curious.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
They come right up to you and then, you know, stick their nose to it. And then the other thing is, too, is we can link the mare and the baby together so everybody knows who they are. And so
they don't get lost and get misidentified. Huh,
exactly.
This is unbelievable.
Yeah, that way you don't have to.
It's very cool.
Yeah, and we got we're working on some other stuff, too, that we'll be able to link that microchip and be able to do. We're working with Axel Sleep. Mark Cassie and Chester Weber introduced me to him, and so he'll be one of the portals. And that's one of the things that we discussed with some of the regulatory bodies on artificial intelligence. So when these things are moving, it tells you the gates, and then you just video them and shoot it through his data. And then it'll tell you if the gate's off that day to help the regulatory veterinarian, since nobody can get large animal vets right now. So it's really neat.
Brett, this is it's very exciting. And everybody knew that there was these potential, the potentialities were there for this technology, and you know, including workouts, and you know, that the timing. Equibase has had trouble with some of the timing, the GMAX program, but the concept for this, and it's only going to get better, right? I mean, the technology is only going to improve from here. Lip Chip LLC.
Yes, sir.
And anybody, there'll be a wide array of people listening in all different disciplines that will have, they already know they've got application for it.
Yeah, well, we've done really well, you know, with some of the bigger horses in the cold horse industry and some of the bigger rodeo horses. And we got really well. Angie Stevens is one of our ladies that helps us do our marketing. So we've done well with all of our marketing through the Thoroughbred deal. And then when we came down here, we had a good friend of ours that lives down here, Louisa Martin, that hooked us up with Eddie and Nick Demerick. And they've just been awesome to work with. Now that they have it, it was interesting the other day because the grooms were waving at the other grooms as they were leaving. They were getting ready to go for 2 hours to do all the temperatures and the horses that day. Our guys just ran through and did the whole barn, and they're like, see you later, we're gone.
So, I love it. Well, yeah. Brad Boland, thanks for this. I a pleasure to meet. And as I'm happy to, you know, spread the word about this. Lip Chip LLC, Twitter?
Yes.
Twitter too?
Yes, sir. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook.
All right. So they can, anybody that there it is, Lip Chip LLC, also same way on Twitter. Just 74 followers, but
we're getting there.
You're just pulling out of the station.
Yeah.
Just getting going. I'm going to follow you. Boom. There you go.
There you go.
Thanks so much.
Okay. Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Good nice to meet you.
Just, and anything that makes the job easier for people in the game, we're for it. And this has obviously got a ton of opportunity.
Appreciate it.
Not at all. We'll talk again.
Thank you.
There we go. Brad Bowen and Lip Chip. This is something we talked about this on the show for years. JJ talked about the idea of microchipping horses, and here's a practical application. Outstanding work. Very cool. Brad Bowen, Lip Chip. Thanks. All right. I want to get Valerie Buck in here, and she's been unbelievably sweet. And I'm glad you came by.
Thank you.
Not at all.
It is.
She's been waiting. I've been. I'm sorry. I feel terrible. Put the headset on.
Listening is, but
well, that's one of the things about being here. They come by. You grab them. Applebaum.
Yep.
Applebaum came out of nowhere. Crazy. So I told you yesterday I wanted to get you on and wanted to hear the latest. And there is news.
Yes.
Those of you that have been around the game, you know Valerie Buck, and whether it was her work as a top exercise rider for many years.
28 years. Yep. And I rode some of the best horses of my generation.
Remind everybody.
Rags to Riches, Orientate, Fleet Indian. Charismatic, proud citizen, some Asena, some of the best of the best in the industry. And while I was riding those horses over the years, I just, you know, these horses have a whole lot of years to go when they leave the track. The best of their life is beyond the track, in my opinion, and there's still value in these horses. So when I left the track, I started Act Naturally, which is my nonprofit organization that we run out of Saratoga Springs, New York. And I am extremely proud to say that we turn 10 years old next month. So I can't say enough about the support that we've had from the racing industry. Jack and Lori Wolf, when I was working for Todd Pletcher, they had horses with Starlight for us, and they encouraged me to go do this. And I'm just very humbled by the support that we have through the racing industry and through the Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance. They've done a phenomenal job of making sure that these horses are safe when they're done racing. I work with Rick Schossberg in the Take Two program in New York, and we are a very important part of horse racing, and we want to keep horse racing healthy and thriving and stuff, and making sure that our horses are safe when they're done racing is a huge part of it.
You've operated at one farm most recently, and we've talked almost every summer at Saratoga fundraisers. But talk about what you're up to in terms of relocating the program. And you should also remind everybody about the ACT with two T's, ACTT naturally, because it's a different kind of retraining that you took a real interest in and became essentially a trained master at the, I don't want to call it holistic method, but it's
natural horsemanship.
Natural horsemanship.
And
there you go.
Bob Duncan, who was the head starter for 50 years in New York, he introduced me to natural horsemanship when I had a horse that got injured in the horse trail and we couldn't get him back in. And I subsequently got injured at the track that year, and I went down that road of natural horsemanship, and it's changed my life. And while we do these programs with veterans and their families, with first responders, with teenage kids, we're teaching these people about mutual respect, trust, empathy, healthy boundaries, all the great things that these horses have to offer us. And we are moving this year to a retreat in Greenwich, New York, which is just 20-25 minutes from your home. We're neighbors. We're neighbors at home. But we are collaborating with a healing center there where we're going to do weekend retreats, and the horses are going to be part of the art therapy and just a lot of holistic types of healing for people that have suffered trauma. And the horses participate in these programs in a round pen. It's all groundwork. But we've had remarkable success stories of people that have come through our programs, and it's changed their lives. So the horses saved my life, and I am so grateful to have the opportunity to take my horses and share that with other people and help them heal and be the best people they can be in the world.
How many horses are you taking care of?
Right now I have 8. I'm down here in Ocala with 3 this winter. I bring some horses down that come off the track, and we keep them going. Otherwise, up in Saratoga, we're not a lot to do in the winter up there. So we've started coming down here to Ocala. I've got a really nice gelding that Chad Brown gave me last fall that's coming along really well. I have a lesson with him tomorrow. He's doing some jumping. And I've got 2 of my key program horses down here as well, just to keep them fine-tuned so that when we get home, they haven't been standing around all winter. And there's 5 at home. I've got Traffic Chief, who I got from my cushion. He's 23 years old now. He won the Albany Stakes. Kira McLaughlin's sister-in-law retired her horse with us last year past the point. He made quite a bit of money on the track.
Yeah.
So he's with us. And then I've got 3 others that are in the process of transitioning at home. They'll get started back up this spring, and we'll hope to get them adopted and open the door to bring some more in that are coming off the track looking for a new future. And I just want to say there's a lot of people out there that are working to make sure that these horses get retired before what we call the last race, making sure that they're leaving the track sound, because it makes our job so much easier to rehabilitate them when they come off the track and they're not suffering injuries when it could have been prevented by not squeezing that last race. So there's a lot of people out there that are making that effort, which we really appreciate.
What about Rocker?
Oh, he passed away.
When?
It was the summer of 2021. He developed a cancerous mass in his foot. But Kel, and he was
You would have brought him up.
Harlem Rocker was a horse that I galloped for Todd Pletcher, and he made $600,000, was bred for a season at McMahon Thoroughbreds. And when they pensioned him, I wrote to Frank and Frieda Stronach to ask him if I could have him. And they gelded him, and I drove to Kentucky to pick him up. He was my 50th birthday present to myself, and I gave him 6 wonderful years of life that he wouldn't have had as a pension stallion. And we lost him to cancer in the summer of 2021. But I know that I gave that horse 6 years that he wouldn't have had it not been. And Carolyn Pugh just reached out to me. She and Peter have his half-brother. So I'm going to go meet him this summer at Saratoga.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
It's all right.
I feel bad.
They don't live forever. But we can do what we can for them while they're here, right?
Because, our filly, Carlisle Bell, Macho Uno, as well. And,
yeah.
And Rocker had the first stall at Long Shadow.
Yeah, he did. He was my unicorn. I miss him terribly every day, but again, we gave him 6 years that he otherwise wouldn't have had.
We're going to do a fundraiser this summer?
Yeah, we have to celebrate our 10-year anniversary, yeah. So we'll be doing something in Saratoga. And in the meantime, we are always welcome for donations through our website. Our acronym is Aftercare Continued Thoroughbred Training. It's ACT Naturally with 2 T's, and you can make a donation on our website or send it to our mailing address, which is on our website. And, you know, we can't do this without the support of everybody. And while people are here spending lots and lots and lots of money on the new horses, we have to take care of the ones when they're done racing. So we appreciate any support that we can get.
Well, for years, you've heard Valerie visit with me and the work that she's done and the way in which she's adapted the operation, retraining as well. I mean, we can talk maybe this summer, too, about, about the, the competition, the retraining competition.
Oh, the resource makeover.
The makeover. and the things that you can help people that are want to get into that side. It's become become a huge success.
They've done such a really good job of showing the versatility of the thoroughbreds. You know, they're able to do work with cows and polo and fox hunting, and you get them their mind in the right place, which is what we really focus on when they come to us, and they're really capable of doing anything we ask them to do.
Well, Valerie, it's always great to see you, and what's the puppy's name?
Emmett. Come here, Emmett.
That's a cute name.
He's my
adorable.
He's there. We go. We got to get a picture with Emmett. Perfect. That's even better. That a boy. Look at that. He knows he's getting a photo. He's adorable. How old?
7.
Oh my gosh, he looks fabulous. How do you puppy?
He's the golden child.
Absolutely adorable.
Is he big for a French bulldog?
Yeah. He came from Colorado. Colorado bred.
we'll have to get what's his name, Mulvihill, in here. Yeah. Jim Mulvihill. He's the head of the commission. Val, it's always great to see you. And this summer we'll make sure to give everybody
we'll space.
Without
yeah.
fail.
All right.
ACT Naturally. ACTT. naturally.org. The website came out gorgeous.
Thank you.
It looks fabulous.
Thank you. And I appreciate your time, Steve.
Oh, gosh. I'm sorry to make you wait.
That's all right.
The morning. And here's Jimmy Ventura wandering in.
I was at the farms looking at a few horses.
Nice.
And I just popped in, and I caught the tail end of what Valerie was saying. And, we had a real expensive colt that ran 2 times as a 2-year-old. We gave him time, and we just thought the best thing to do with him was to retire him. We gelded him, so it made it an easier transition. And horse owners, for the most part, really love the animals and try to do the right thing. So I think doing something that you do, repurposing, quote unquote, and having them do what comes naturally, it's a great thing. But I think a lot of owners that don't publicize the things that they do to make sure that the horse has a healthy career after racing without squeezing the lemon dry, becomes unnoticed in the press because it's not a big deal. But
it is a big deal.
It is a big deal. That's what I mean. Yeah. It is a big deal, and it should be a big deal.
We have to share the good stuff that's happening in racing. There is a lot of good that's happening, and, with the Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance, with the Take Two program, and, we are accredited with the Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance, and the first Tuesday of every month, we have a Zoom meeting there's 80 organizations in the TAA, and we have a Zoom meeting every Tuesday, first Tuesday of the month, and it's great to hear the support of everybody out there and collaborating and supporting each other and helping each other out.
Super.
Been a big plus. How'd you make out? Anything yesterday? No.
No, swung and was in the wrong zip code. Actually, I think I was in the wrong country. Thought I would go to 200, and it blew by me like I was tied to the post and ended up at 300 plus.
Heard that a lot.
Yeah, didn't do anything. But right. You made it through day two, if I'm looking at the clock correctly.
It's over. Yeah,
it's over.
It's crazy. I want to thank Gary Fenton, Kip Elser, Ron Ellis, Ron Moquette, two wrongs don't make a right, as Moquette is unbelievable. Jessica Martini, Christina Basanakis, Joe Applebaum, the Lip Chip people came out of nowhere. Brad Boland, Jimmy Ventura, and Valerie Buck to close out what has been a furious 3 hours. We'll do it again tomorrow from the OBS sale. They're an hour underway. Pull it up and watch the sale. We'll be watching for that Cave Rock brother yesterday. You were right about all the hips yesterday that you gave everybody. Well done. Good luck if you're playing today, everybody. Good luck at Mahoning in the fifth, the Derby Wife.
Wow.
The Jammer named one for us. Talk to you tomorrow.
The Races with Steve Beck on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.